Well, good morning, New Life Church. How's everybody doing today? Doing all right? Awesome. Hey, it is good to be here at the Kearney campus today. My name is Tyler. I am the campus pastor in North Platte, and I just want to give a big shout out to everybody who's watching us online, who's watching us out in Ogallala, and a special shout out to my North Platte family. Man, we love you guys so much. Today marks a very special day when it comes to me and my family, when it comes to the North Platte campus. It marks the 1 year mark of us being the campus pastors out there. So, yeah. North Platte, we love you guys. So thankful. Man, I'm so incredibly blessed and thankful to be a part of this team as well. We have an incredible team of pastors here at New Life, an incredible staff, and what an honor it is. And that's really spearheaded by our lead pastor, Pastor Jeff. And so, Pastor Jeff, I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a part of this team. Don't we love Pastor Jeff here? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so we're continuing our series, right? Body armor. And so far, we've talked about four different pieces of the body armor, right? We talked about the belt of truth. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, right? We talked about the shoes of peace, and the shield of faith. And so today, I get to talk to you about the helmet of salvation. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And so let's go ahead and read this aloud together here at the Kearney campus, at every other campus. It says this: put on salvation as your helmet. Put on salvation as your helmet. So as we're talking about helmets, what I wanted to do was bring up a couple of pictures of helmets that you guys may recognize. So when you see these pictures, if you wouldn't mind doing me a favor, just shout out what it is and like who would be wearing that helmet. Okay, can we do that? Can we do that this morning? All right, first picture up on the screen. What helmet is this? The Huskers. I figured we would get some cheers off of that, right? That's the Nebraska football helmet, right? And it's right around the corner. Football season is. We know it's a football helmet. We know it's Nebraska, right? How many of us are excited for some big red football this year? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next picture. Motorcycle helmet, right? It's a motorcycle helmet. And praise God for the face shields. You know, I mean, on I-80, the car that you drive, right? You see all the bugs. I do not know how you would get around driving a motorcycle on I-80 without a face shield. So praise God for that. So as we're looking at these helmets, there's been some really cool props in this series so far, hasn't there? There's been some really neat props, and you know, Pastor Chris brought out some like body armor type of like a Kevlar suit or something. It was super cool looking. Pastor Jeff had a really cool bag of shoes, right, with a bunch of different shoes. And so for me, it's just like, okay, I need to bring a helmet. I'm going to bring a helmet. That's what I should do, right? And so I thought about a football helmet, but to be honest, like, your boy here hasn't played tackle football since middle school, all right? And when you're as skinny as I am, you don't get much further than middle school. So it's just how it goes with tackle football, right? And I definitely wasn't going to be wearing a motorcycle helmet, because I've worn a motorcycle helmet one time in my life, the only time I rode a motorcycle, and I popped the clutch, and I wrecked it, and I got the nice scar on my leg to prove it. So I might get a little PTSD if I wear a motorcycle helmet. So I was like, okay, what can I wear? And then as I'm digging into this verse, I realize Paul, he's talking about the Roman soldier helmet, right? I'm like, oh man, that would be so cool, right? It'd be so cool to walk out in a Roman soldier helmet. Like, I'd be super excited. Gladiator's one of my favorite movies, right? I feel like Maximus walking out and just ready for this moment. And so what do? I go and I look on Amazon, where we can find anything, right? We can find anything on Amazon. And I start looking for these helmets, and they're expensive. Man, they're like really expensive, like $140, $210, $180. Man, if I spend north of $100 on a Roman helmet replica, my wife is going to be very disappointed in me. And so I cannot do it, right? So I get through the first page and there's nothing. And right here in America, if you go through the first page of a search engine, you don't click to the second page, right? You just give up. You're like, well, that is what it is, I guess. But I was determined. It's like, man, I'm going to find a helmet. So I click on the next page, and the very next helmet I see is the same picture of all the other helmets, and it's for $32. It's like, This guy, how does this guy not have more business and more five-star reviews than the other people? Like, come on. And so I'm like, all right, cool. I look at it. I see it's the exact one I want. I click the buy it now. I don't even hit the add to cart button on Amazon, right? You click the buy it now. It goes straight to your house. So I'm ready for this thing to show up. And so I brought it with me today, and I just wanted to show you guys the helmet I brought. Yeah. As I'm looking at this helmet, like, this can't even fit my dog. Like, how am I going to wear this helmet, right? And so point number one of my sermon, if you're taking notes, is always check the dimensions on Amazon before you buy something, right? And so I get this helmet, and I'm like, well, it's what I got, you know? It's what I got to work with. So I better do some research on said helmet. And so I do a little bit of research, and I see that this helmet is known as the Galia. And the Galia was the Roman helmet, right? It was really one of the finest pieces of equipment that you could wear on the battlefield. And this helmet did a few things. You know, if it fit you correctly and you could actually wear it, it would do a couple of things for that soldier, right? And so the first thing that this helmet does is this crest right here provides the Roman soldier with identity. Right, it shows them that who they're fighting for, right? It's the identity of, wow, this is somebody who is in the Roman army. It would maybe determine your division, right, your ranking, and even some of the accomplishments that you had on the battlefield, right? So this provides with identity right here. This is identity. And the second thing that it provided the Roman soldier with was safety. Right, it provided them with safety, and it protected really one of the most important, crucial parts of the entire body, right? The brain. It protected your head. I mean, how many of us have seen the movie 300, right? The Spartans, right? They've got these incredible, like, rock-hard abs. They didn't wear any body armor to cover those up. I wouldn't either. I mean, if your abs look like that, who's going to wear body armor, right? But they wore a helmet because they realized and recognized, wow, this is really important for us to protect our head. So much like the Romans and the Spartans, the Romans wore a helmet that gave them two things. It gave them identity and it gave them safety. Identity and safety. And so like the Roman soldiers who put on this helmet, and when we put on the helmet of salvation, it gives us a couple of things. It gives you some identity and it gives you safety. Right? The Christian soldier, what gives them identity and safety. And so when we're talking about this helmet of salvation, I think the next logical question is, well, what is salvation? What is salvation? Well, if you looked it up on Google, the definition would read like this: the state of being saved or protected from harm or a dire situation. The state of being saved or protected from harm or a dire situation. Something that we would know as Christians is it's really the transformative power of Jesus, right? That's what salvation is. It's the transformative power of Jesus. And so how do we know that, right? Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. If we jump back a few chapters to Ephesians chapter 1, we read this about salvation. When you believed in Christ, right? Salvation. When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. So really what Paul is telling us and what he's writing to the church of Ephesus during this time is that salvation is found through Jesus. And it's only found through Jesus. And if you're here today at church and you've yet to make that decision, you've yet to surrender your life to Jesus, whether you're here at the Kearney campus, you're watching us online, you're watching us in North Platte or Ogallala, can I first say we're glad you're here. We are glad you are here this morning. And the second thing I want to say is that salvation is a free gift, and there's nothing that you've done, there's nowhere you've gone, there's nothing you've said, there's nothing you've thought, there's no sin you've committed that'll ever separate you from the love of Jesus. There's nothing that you could ever do to separate yourself from the love of God and the ability to receive salvation. Right? And so as we're talking about salvation and we're talking about this helmet of salvation, one of the things we have to understand is that Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. He's writing to the church of Ephesus, right? He's writing to people who have made that decision to surrender their life to Jesus. And he's telling them to put on this helmet of salvation. In the next book of the Bible, he says that we are called to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. Right? So if Paul is telling us we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, what we know is that he's not saying we need to work for your salvation. Right? You don't work for salvation. Salvation is a free gift. It's really the first step to your relationship with God. It's the starting point, right? And so many times, right, it's kind of like a race. What happens when everyone's lined up at a race? They shoot the gun, bam, the pistol goes off, everyone cheers, gets real loud, right? That's not the stopping point of the race. That's the starting point. And salvation is not the stopping point of your relationship with God and the life that he has for you. It's the start of an incredible new life that he's designed for you. And so what Paul is trying to say is, when he's saying to work out our salvation, he's saying, now this is the start. Now that you surrendered your life to Jesus, there's a whole new life ahead of you. And so how do we do that? Where would we start, right? Where would we even start there? Well, can I tell you that after the salvation in our spirit takes place, the next thing we need to do, the next place we need to focus is on our mind. Focusing on our mind. Why? Because our mind and our identity drives our thoughts and therefore drives our actions, right? I've got three younger brothers, Austin, Andrew, and Isaac, three incredible guys. Man, if you guys are watching this, I love you guys. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you. And Austin and Andrew were identical twins, okay? And so growing up with identical twin brothers was a blast. I mean, it was so much fun. And these guys were like the epitome of the class clown make people laugh, all right? And so it was a great childhood. Some of my greatest memories are with the twins. And man, they carried on this man, we're gonna trick people, we're gonna get people to think we're the wrong person, right? We're gonna respond to the other name. And they did this all throughout our childhood. And they get into high school and they decide, you know what would be awesome? Like, what if we switched classes, but we didn't tell anyone? Like, Austin, you go to Andrew's class, and Andrew's going to go to Austin's class. We're just going to keep doing this till we get caught, right? And so they're doing this, and so they've got to learn to respond to the other person's name. So if Andrew is sitting in Austin's class and he's called Austin, what does he have to do? He has to take on the thought that he is Austin and respond like he is Austin, right? And so the thoughts and the identity that he took on determined his actions, right? And vice versa. And this went on for a decent amount of time. No one caught him until Andrew purposely failed a math test for Austin. On purpose. Purposely failed a math test. And then what does Austin do? Austin ditched Andrew's class and got him in trouble. And so my mom gets a phone call about Andrew ditching class, and then the whole thing blew up on him, right? But it was an incredible moment. It was great, man. If you could, just that little story, you're like, yep, I see why they're the pride and joy of your life, right? Why they're so much fun. But they had to embody the identity of the other person, and it therefore changed their thoughts, which then changed their actions. Pastor Craig Rochelle of Life Church says it like this: you do what you do because of what you think of you. You do what you do because of what you think of you. And you see, that's more than just a nice rhyming phrase. It's more than something we might read in a Dr. Seuss book, right? It's actually rooted in biblical truth. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says this: for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he, right? You do what you do because of what you think of you. And so we know that if our thinking and our identity therefore drives our actions, we also know that God has called us. In Romans chapter 12, we read that he's called us to not conform to the patterns of this world. So how do we do that? We don't conform or copy the behavior and customs of this world, right? But we let God transform us into a new person. How? By changing the way that you think. So with this helmet of salvation, it provides identity and safety, and it's the next place you need to start when it comes to the starting point of your journey with Jesus. So how do we put on this helmet? Now that we understand a little bit of why we do what we do, and we do what we do because of what we think of you, How do we do that? Well, the first thing is you have to change the way you think about yourself. You have to change the way you think about yourself, our identity, right? It's our identity. And can I tell you something? That identity is that kill shot that the enemy is going to swing at you. He's going to try to take you out. How? By getting you to question your identity, which causes you to question your purpose in life, which causes you to question everything, right? And then you find yourself in this place where your thoughts are bad and your actions are bad. Why? Because you've embodied this identity in your life. The world will tell you to find your identity in a lot of things. The world will say you need to find your identity in possessions. Right? You need to have this car. You need to have this house. You need to have this clothing. You need to have this furniture in order to be somebody, right? The world will tell you your identity should be found in your status. Man, you've got to have the job title, right? You've got to have the job title. You've got to be known as this person. Your status has to be at a certain level, right? That's what determines how good of a person and how meaningful you are to this world. They'll also tell you to find your identity in your fame. Oh, man. See this guy's Instagram account? He's like 300 followers. He's nothing. He's a nobody. Oh, man. This person, yeah, they're never going to amount to you anything. They're not famous enough. The world will tell you to find your identity in your self-image. Oh, you need to look this way, talk this way, dress this way. That's how you find who you really are. And the world will try to tell you this is how you need to be, and the world will also try to project your identity on you, right? Sometimes it's by our actions, sometimes it's by our feelings, sometimes it's by just what the world says. Well, you don't look this way, and so therefore this is who you are. And what happens is when we begin to embody that and we begin to make that a part of our lives, we sum it up and we give it truth by this one simple phrase. Well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. Yeah, the world says I'm a failure, therefore I'm a failure. The world says I'm an addict, therefore I'm an addict. That's just the way I am. Right? And we begin to take on this identity, and then it changes our thoughts, which changes our actions. So the first thing we have to do is make sure our identity shifts. There's people in the Bible who the world gave them an identity. There's a lady who's known simply as the lady with the issue of blood. We don't know her name. That's what she's known as. Why? Because it's her identity. Now, did she actually have an issue of blood? Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. Right? And she embodied it, and the world said, well, that's just who she is. She's that lady. There's somebody who's known as the demoniac. Somebody who was filled with demon possession, and what they labeled him, he's just a demoniac. There's this group of people known as the lepers, right, who had a sickness called leprosy. And so they said, you're a leper, and therefore you're a leper, you're an outcast. You're not welcome. You're not supposed to be around us, right? We got to make sure this person isn't around us. There's a man in the Bible whose name is Saul. Saul grew up, and he grew up in this twisted mentality, and he's killing Christians, and he's persecuting Christians. And he continued to do it. He continued to let his behavior be driven by that. Why? Because his identity was found there. What about us? What are some of the places that either the world has told you your identity is here, or you've taken and said, my identity is here? See, there was real sickness, there was real actions, there were real feelings involved. And when you take that on as your identity, it really shapes your thoughts. For me, I found myself in a very difficult place when I was 19 years old. My dad was my absolute best friend. We worked together, we lived together, we hung out on the weekends together, right? And we did that all the way until I got married on October 8th, 2011. To my lovely wife, Sarah. And not even 2 months later, I get a phone call from my mom letting me know that my dad made the terrible decision to take his life. And it was somebody that, man, I tried, I loved so very much, right? And I cared about him so very much. And then when this happened, what did I begin to tell myself? Well, you're not good enough. You're a failure. You're not worthy. You'll never make it. You're too broken. You're never going to move beyond this. What are some of the identities that you've allowed to take deep root in your heart? But again, sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes there's real mistakes that we've made that lead us to feel that way. There's real situations that have happened to make us feel that way. I'm not trying to illegitimize your pain, what you've been through, or anything, because it's real, right? It's real. But can I tell you some good news today? Can I tell you some good news today? Something changes when you find your identity in Jesus. Something changes when you find your identity in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 puts it this way. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Right, the old life is gone. The old labels are gone. Does that mean none of the stuff happened? No, it doesn't. But it doesn't mean we have to find ourselves and our identity rooted in our past mistakes, rooted in what the world says about us, right? The lady with the issue of blood, guess what happened when she met Jesus? She got healed and her identity changed. What happened to the demoniac? He got set free and his identity changed. The lepers were cleansed and their identity changed. Saul literally got his name changed to Paul, and he became one of the greatest missionaries that the world has ever seen. His entire purpose was rewired and rerouted. Why? Because he chose to find his identity in Jesus. And so if you're here today and you say, well, I'm just an addict, or I'm too broken, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not loved, Jesus says you are free, you are forgiven, you are loved, you are restored, you are cherished, you are healed. And so what happens is we take on this identity of Jesus and we say, you know what? This is who I am now. My mistakes don't define me. My mistakes are now a moment, and that moment I can get away from and find my identity back in Jesus. The helmet of salvation provides you with identity. And so once we realize that and we find our identity in who Jesus says that we are, right, the identity provides you safety. Safety over what? Safety over your minds and safety over your thoughts. How many of us know we need some safety when it comes to the thoughts that run through our head? How many of us believe that? I know I do. All right, let's talk about that for a little bit. Like, what about the thought that runs through your head when Runza forgets your ranch? I mean, let's be real here, all right? I open up my bag, and I don't see the ranch on top of my frings. That's not a good thought. I'm mad. Ugh. Right? Or the thought that takes place when you're driving home from Runza and somebody cuts you off when they forgot your ranch. You're like, Tyler, why do you care so much? Because it happened to me yesterday, okay? It literally happened to me yesterday. And there's this thought in my head, and I'm just like, oh, man, you cut off the wrong guy, all right, dude? They forgot my ranch, all right? I got bad thoughts right here. I got bad thoughts right now. What about some other thoughts, right? What about some of the thoughts that you have when you're reminded of a past mistake you made? What about some of the thoughts that you have when somebody says something hurtful to you? What about those type of thoughts? Man, the thoughts that come into our head can really run rampant and take over our mind, right? And the next thing you know, you've got one thought, and then you're onto a next thought, and you're onto another thought, and you're onto another thought. And before you know it, your mind is just filled with all of these negative thoughts. We need safety over our thoughts and our minds. And that safety is found when we put on the helmet of salvation and we take our identity in Christ. How do I know this? Because 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So the thoughts that pop into your head, these thoughts that start to run rampant in your head, right? You can now, because your identity is rooted in Jesus and you've got this helmet of salvation on, you can start to take captive those thoughts. So you know what? I don't need to think that thought. You know what? That's not a good thought to think. And so I can take captive that thought. It no longer has to be the thought that dwells in my head. So many times it's like, well, it's an intrusive thought and I couldn't control it. You know what? Sometimes there are intrusive thoughts. Sometimes there are thoughts that pop into our head unwanted and something that we're not prepared for. But guess what? You get to take captive. No, that's not a good thought. You know what? Actually, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. Call it out loud if you have to. Nope, that's not a good thought. That's not a good thought, right? Begin to just speak it out loud. And so how do we know if the thoughts that we're thinking are thoughts that are obedient to Christ? That could be the next question. Well, how do I figure that out? How am I supposed to know? Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, right? Not false, not a lie, but what's true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable, right? Honoring to yourself, honoring to God, and honoring to other people. Fix your thoughts on those things. What's right, not wrong. What's pure, not putrid. What's lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So how do you know if the thoughts running through your head are being made obedient to Christ? Philippians 4, chapter 8 tells you, think about these things. Think about these things. You've got these thoughts that run through your mind, that have run through your mind for a really long time. Can I tell you, you're made new in Jesus. There's a new identity. The labels that have limited you your entire life, that the world has put on you, are now ripped away when you find your identity in Jesus. And therefore, you can take captive over your thoughts. Think about things that are good and true and lovely. So when we talk about this helmet of salvation, the first step you have to take, if you haven't already, is to surrender your life to Jesus. If you're here today, you're watching online, you're at another campus, and you find that your identity has been rocked, that your thoughts really dictate everything that you do, and they're not good thoughts, there's hope in Jesus. There's freedom in Jesus. It's a free gift that you get to receive. For those of us here today, we've made that decision. Maybe you've made that decision, but you've noticed that your actions aren't following up like you would like them to. Find your identity in Jesus. There are so many statements in the Bible that my challenge to you is to go look up. They're called the I am statements. Who does God say I am? Who does God say I am? That's what we need to start repeating to ourselves, because the world is loud and the world's aggressive. And the world will tell you, this is who you are. And if we don't have anything that says, no, it's not, we'll take it on. So my challenge to you is go home and read them aloud to yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror if you have to. Say, this is who I am. I am loved. I'm forgiven. I'm cherished. I'm more than a conqueror. I am redeemed. I'm accepted. Those are some of the things that Jesus has to say about you. And when you take on that identity, it begins to change your thoughts, right? And it allows you to take those thoughts captive. If you have to call them out, you know what? No, I'm not thinking about that. Why? Because I'm made new in Jesus, right? Because I'm a new creation in Jesus. And it's becoming a part of who I am. It's going to be a part of me. If you're here, maybe, you know, just an example of, let's put it this way. Let's say you struggled with gossip. You're like, man, I'm not going to gossip anymore. And then a couple weeks go by because we haven't really embraced this identity of, oh man, I'm not a gossiper. And then we end up gossiping and we come back and we're like, oh man, I'm not going to do it again. What if it looked like this? You know what? I am a follower of Jesus and he calls me to speak highly of other people. So therefore that is what I'll do. You see that mindset shift? You see that? So my question to you is, where is your identity? Where are your thoughts? This world is going to say, you're this way. You're going to label yourself, you're this way. But you are a new creation in Jesus. I'm going to close with a simple story. A story that, of a movie that a lot of us have probably seen. One of my favorite movies as a kid. Movie Toy Story. In Toy Story, right, Woody is the main character. Woody is the main character. He is Andy's favorite toy. That's what he found his identity in. He was Andy's. He was Andy's toy. And then Buzz came along, and what happened? Woody got a little upset. And Woody's thoughts started to go bad. And then Woody took it out on Buzz. And his actions followed. Why? Because Woody forgot whose he was, and so therefore he forgot who he was. He forgot who he was because he forgot whose he was. And then he finds himself in a difficult situation at the bottom of a toy box. And what does he do? He grabs his foot. He looks, and it says Andy. And he realizes, I'm Andy's toy. This is who I am. Now my identity can change because of it, my actions and my thoughts. Maybe you find yourself at the bottom of the toy box today. Maybe you find yourself in a difficult place doing things you wouldn't imagine, thinking things you wouldn't imagine. Can I just encourage you to open up your word? And you're going to find the name of Jesus that says you are mine. When you embody that identity and take captive those thoughts, it'll change the way you live your life. Will you stand with me as we close? Dear Jesus, we thank you for the identity that you provide. We thank you, God, for this free gift of salvation that's for us. And that there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing we've done that'll ever separate us from the love of Jesus. And God, I pray for each and every person here today that they just begin to embody the identity that you have for them. God, when the world says that they're not enough, that you say they are enough. When the world says they have failed, that you say that they are redeemed. When the world says that they are not good enough, that they are unworthy and unlovable, you call them loved and worthy and cherished. Lord, would you help us embody your identity? God, would you help us to take captive the thoughts that come into our head? Make them obedient to Christ. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. In your name, amen.